What's up, guys? I'm Luke Grembin.
And I'm Caleb Burlingame.
And today we're going to be painting a picture of what the new NBA season will look like. This is the Factory Report. No notable news from EMU today, but from Chris Haynes via Twitter, he reports that Brooklyn Nets star Kyrie Irving has organized a call, this would be last week, for NBA players to discuss what positions they should take in regards to restarting the NBA season. He's of the mindset that during racial tension, not returning to play should be considered. That's according to sources. Caleb, what do you think about this?
I think that Kyrie Irving has always kind of been someone who's trying to make a difference in the NBA and always trying to have a voice. He is the vice president of the NBA Players Association of the players, you know, their rights and stuff. I just saw that he was the vice president of that. Also, LeBron James has responded to Kyrie Irving's statements saying that he does not think restarting the season will affect his ability to strive for social justice and reform. Also, two Lakers players have said that they are willing to give up everything for social justice, even if it means not restarting the season, those players being Dwight Howard and Avery Bradley. So now with that quick little bit of the news, me and Luke are going to break down the new NBA season. And as we know, it's going to take place at Orlando's Walt Disney World. It is the happiest place on the planet. Here is what we're looking at. The bracket currently sits for the West. On top, the Lakers, then the Clippers, then the Nuggets, Jazz, Thunder, Rockets, Mavericks, and Grizzlies. The East has Milwaukee, the Raptors, the Celtics, the Heat, the Pacers, Philadelphia, the Nets, and the Orlando Magic. Luke, what do you think about all those teams that are being invited to play in Orlando?
I think that's a really cool idea, first of all, kind of having like a March Madness-style bracket with just an intense campus environment is really cool. I can't wait to see, because I think it's going to be really interesting for some teams that had troubles with injuries, because their players are going to be done. With those injuries, that's what I mean. They're going to be healed up and they're going to be rested. So look for teams like Milwaukee and the Lakers. And I know those are the two number one seeds, but those are teams that are going to do really well going through this bracket, because I know that LeBron is going to be super well rested. He always plays amazing when he's rested. Now, Anthony Davis, he was struggling with some injury. Those are definitely going to be some teams to watch, obviously, but it's going to be a really exciting environment.
As you guys, as all probably know by now, I am a huge LeBron James fan. And like you said, Luke, giving LeBron James that much rest with last season not making the playoffs and then this season, the break. I mean, LeBron is just having such a large amount of rest that a lot of people think he's going to have some rust. But honestly, I think he's just going to come back so strong that the Lakers are going to be a force. What do you think?
LeBron's a special player in that he doesn't really get rust. I know he spends millions of dollars every year just in personal physical training. He's literally a beast, and he puts so much time and effort into keeping his body in perfect shape. I think he's just going to come out firing, guns blazing in this tournament.
I think the rust would more likely come on Milwaukee, if I'm being honest, because Giannis is younger. He hasn't had as much experience in the postseason. That team is a younger team. They're not as battle ready, I guess I'd say, because yes, Giannis is amazing, but LeBron has had what, 17 years of the postseason?
I
think the rust would more likely be put on Milwaukee, as they play also an easier conference. And I feel like
no disagreement with you there. Yeah.
I feel like in the Western Conference too, there is a really solid top two teams, whereas Milwaukee's the first seed, and then you have kind of a drop off when you get to Toronto. Not that Toronto's bad. They're the second seed, they're the defending champs for a reason. But I think you have to look in the West. Those top two teams are obviously two of the best favorites for the championship. So, right. I don't know, man. We'll see what happens. But I think this is so healthy for the NBA to see this sort of change to their format, because for years it's just kind of been the same thing. And look at this year. We had All-Star break with the All-Star game being changed with playing for Kobe. You know how they made that fourth quarter different. I like all of the changes that they're doing. I think it's going to appeal to a younger audience, and hey, it's going to make them a lot of money.
The NBA has always been a really progressive league, like one that'll go in and kind of rethink their approach a lot. I really like that. Another thing also, kind of blessing in disguise from all this, is that this is going to move the entire schedule for the NBA like further up. So next season is probably going to start on or around Christmas Day. And you know, the joke, NBA doesn't start till Christmas Day.
Yeah.
We finally get what we always wanted. NBA starting on Christmas Day. I would absolutely love that.
I know, but that is going to be bad for the older teams. You know, that's going to be when LeBron James, I think, starts to slow down and gets his decline. And that's when I think the younger teams are going to benefit and have a much quicker start because they don't need that much rest. You know, they're younger, they're faster, their bodies can take a hit. And I think we're going to have so much basketball in the next year that it's going to make up for all the stuff we've missed because of COVID.
Probably, yeah.
So moving on towards what we were saying, there are six teams competing for the 8-seed play-in tournament. This is a new format that the NBA has implemented. In the West, the teams competing for Memphis's 8th playoff spot are Portland, New Orleans, and the Spurs. In the East, the Wizards hope to take out either the Nets or the Magic. So let's talk about the West first. Luke, who do you think is the biggest threat to Memphis's number 8 spot right now?
I think you're going to see Portland, because Portland has the experienced, really good backcourt in Damian Lillard and McCollum. That's the one. Dame and McCollum, they're really, really talented. Even though Zion's an incredible player, I don't know if he himself in his first year is going to be able to put New Orleans over the top and kind of get them into the playoff hunt. Mm-hmm. Or they're in the playoff hunt, excuse me, but get them into the playoffs. The Spurs, I just don't see the Spurs with any real, like, just talent advantage.
They don't have a leader, I feel.
No, they're
okay, but
not yeah, really. They're a team that's rebuilding, and I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. So I think it's going to be Portland.
I agree. I think that Portland is definitely the biggest threat because of Damian Lillard specifically. You see what he does in the playoffs every year. It seems he's taking out somebody with some huge shot at game time. I see Luke right here.
Yeah.
But yes, I think Damian Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers, they could totally come for Memphis, especially because Memphis is inexperienced. They have Ja Morant, arguably the rookie of the year, and Jaren Jackson Jr. But other than that, they don't really have any leaders that can really, I think, carry them through these 8 regular season games that are left. So I think Portland, watch out. They could streak and get into the playoffs. What about in the East, though? Who do you think is the biggest threat for the 8th seed?
I think it's going to be the Nets. The Nets play good basketball, and I don't think Kyrie and Kevin Durant are going to be back for this.
They won't.
I don't think so. But they're still a young, dangerous team. And I'm not going to lie, I'm not that familiar with Orlando this past season, but I think it'd be the Nets. Just from familiarity, what I see, the kind of talent I've seen, I think it's going to be the Nets. Now, and something to be said also is that the Wizards are absolute garbage. Like, they really suck as an organization. So if there is any team that's going to let go of their playoff spot, it's going to be the Wiz.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And I think the Nets do have a good squad, because look at them last year without Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. They were already a really solid team. They have Caris LeVert, Jared Allen. I think they are a solid squad. And I think the Wizards –
Michigan represent?
Yes, Michigan represent. I think that the Wizards have a history of being that team, like you said, that kind of just let
things – Total ineptitude. Like, just being a garbage – John Wall gets injured every single year. He's the most
– Poor guy.
He's the most – overpaid good point guard, overrated good point guard. He's a good point guard, but he's massively overpaid for his talent.
Who do you think's the bigger threat to the Lakers at the 1 seed in this playoff matchup, Memphis or Portland?
Memphis or Portland?
Who has the bigger shot of taking out the Lakers?
I want to say Memphis, just because they have that young fire and energy. And I'm not saying that Portland won't try or that they aren't talented, but Portland's strength is their backcourt. They won't be able to stop LeBron and Anthony Davis in the middle. I think Memphis has a better chance of doing that, and they're gonna come in with their hair on fire. I think that's why I'd give them the edge. Not because Portland's bad or anything, just Memphis is better.
Wouldn't it be fun to see New Orleans play the Lakers in the first round, just because the Lakers traded all of their young core to New Orleans last season for Anthony?
that would be amazing.
I'd ask.
Hold up. Do you remember when Lonzo Ball used to be a thing? Nobody even knows about him anymore. And thank the Lord,
his dad went away.
Yeah, he's like. Okay, his dad totally overhyped him. He's a decent point guard.
I know. We'll see what
happens. He's a good passer and a good defender. Yeah. But like, I mean, I'm so glad he corrected his shooting form. He looked like his arm was broken every time he'd take a shot.
But I'd ask you the same question of who's the biggest threat to the Bucks in the East, but I don't think there really is a threat to the Bucks in the East. I mean,
I would disagree with you. I think it'd be the Celtics. The Celtics are
in the first round.
In the first round? Oh, okay.
Yeah, like what 8 seed would be the biggest threat to the Bucks, but like I said, Wizards, Nets, or Magic have much of a chance beating Giannis.
Yeah, no. There's no way they're going to be able to stop Giannis. Just Giannis alone. Prime Shaq. You can't stop that.
Now we have a series of tweets we want to move on here. From Adrian Wojnarowski. I always say that wrong. But regarding the new NBA season. So there's some timetable on the 22 teams in Orlando. 6 teams will be eliminated after 35 to 40 days based on the play-in elimination games. And 14 total teams will be gone by 53 days at the latest. Luke, do you have any comments on this?
I think the reason why this information is like important and why Woj tweeted out is because these teams, they're going to be brought into what's called the Orlando bubble, and they're not going to be allowed to leave. I remember someone saying it's like Hotel California, you know, you go in, you never leave. Mm-hmm. So that's why he kind of talked about those day spans. So like the players would know, oh, we're going to, if we lose, we're going to dip out at this time or this time or whatever. Cause yeah, I think within a certain time period, they can bring in family and friends.
Yep. I saw that.
But
The next tweet, Woj said, is the NBA is targeting a slightly earlier date for the restart of the season in Orlando. Sources tell ESPN July 30th instead of the 30th.
July 30th. Oh my gosh. That's one day earlier.
I know that I said, why would they want to target one day earlier? But
hey, it's one day earlier though. You know, it's like Christmas coming one day earlier. I'll take it. It's not that big of a deal, but I'll still take it. You know
you're right, right. I guess I could see that. Yeah. From the time of this podcast comes out, though, that's 41 days away. Ooh, that makes me feel so good. That warms my heart.
Come on, baby. Basketball, baby. Come on. I love basketball.
And the final tweet from Woj is that ESPN's story on growing uncertainty among NBA players about entering the Orlando bubble and allowances league plans to make for those deciding to stay home.
I think this is really cool because it allows players, if they feel like there's a genuine health concern that is not in their best interest to play, they have the option to sit out and they won't get a paycheck, but that's their decision. And I really like that. I remember earlier I said that the NBA is a progressive league. They're a league that really puts the power in the players' hands.
I agree. They put the players first, and I think the NFL could totally take a page out of the NBA's book. I say that all the time, but you're not wrong.
This just goes to show how much the MLB as an organization sucks that they aren't willing or open to putting out a product right now. And I think the players do want to play, but the owners are just trying to squeeze every last dime. The reason why is because the owners they're going to lose money this year if they play. So they don't want to play. But it'd be best for the game if they were to play. They may lose money this year, but if they play, they're going to get tremendous amounts of money in the coming years with potentially seizing on these new fans and this new opportunity of a captive American audience. They have a chance to resurrect their product. I don't think they're going to do it in time. I think what's going to happen is that the NBA is going to come back and baseball is going to throw together patched up schedule, and nobody's going to care because everybody's going to be watching. And I also think that baseball is going to go the way of hockey and just become a regional thing that nobody cares about.
That's a bold take. And I do agree. I think that the amount of young people that watch baseball right now is probably the lowest it's ever been historically.
Oh yeah.
Because you see America's pastime, but the more you look at today's youth, they're watching basketball and football. Yeah. That's their biggest stars. You see more people say, oh, I want to be like LeBron James or Tom Brady or Lamar Jackson more than they want to be like Bryce Harper.
Right.
There's more stars in the NBA and the NFL than there are in the MLB. And I'm sorry, but that's just kind of how it goes.
Yeah.
And with the MLB on the decline right now, they're not doing anything, like you said, to try to save themselves. Whereas the NBA is on the incline and they're doing things to promote themselves even more.
Yeah. And if you just look at the ticket sales alone over the past few years, it really tells volumes how little people really care about baseball in general. And that's not a rip on baseball. That's just the simple, honest truth is that I don't care about baseball. I used to care about baseball when the Tigers were good, but they've done nothing to really get my interest. And it's not a fun game to watch. Like, let's be honest here. It takes forever. Yeah. And I am a little young kid, and I've got a short attention span. You know, how am I supposed to sit through a 4-hour snooze fest?
9-inning snooze fest, yeah.
Yeah, and they won't even have, like, automatic tracking for the ball to, like, they still have an umpire who still gets the call wrong all the time. Like, I hear these stories about people's frustration with when it comes to the strike zone, like changing in between innings. It's like, why don't you just fix that? What's wrong here? Why don't you just fix that? It's an easy fix. You have the technology. You need to implement it.
It's because they think this is America's game and no one wants to change good old timey baseball.
Yeah.
They think it's still the baseball that Babe Ruth played back in the 1900s when in sports you need to change with the times or else you're going to become extinct. I mean, it's just kind of how it goes. You have to keep young people interested. And if you stay the same forever and you're not perfect, nothing good is going to come of it. That's why the NBA and the NFL have had to change in the last 10 years to become more more entertaining to young people.
Yeah, it's more, just more exciting. And I know last year, it's kind of a rumor that they juiced the balls to get more home runs, but yeah. That's not going to be enough.
No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at all the players in the past who did get people hyped up, they were juiced. They were on steroids because hitting a home run is a lot harder than hitting a 3-point shot. I mean, it's true.
Oh yeah.
So you look at these guys who have to be stars in the MLB. It takes a lot to really get to that position. Not that in the NBA, you don't have to be good to be great, but I don't know. I guess I'm just saying that it's harder in the MLB.
Yeah. And not only that, but it's hard to be a player in the MLB because the majority of the players don't make millions, like, first of all, but most of them make around just around like 100K. I believe they make around 100K. And to be a bench player or just a practice squad guy or just deep within the minor leagues and only play for like 3 years for 100K, that's not worth it.
That's another difference. You bring up a great point, Luke, is that look at the NBA G League. New college recruits for contracts as low as $500,000, but the MLB is giving minor leaguers, I think I saw something like super low contracts, like $10,000 a year for minor league contracts, like stuff they couldn't even live on. That's another thing. You put your developmental players at such a low position, and then they don't develop.
And why would they? It's too much of a time commitment.
Exactly. And not enough money to really put themselves into the whole thing of getting developed into someone who can be a star and put something out for your league.
Yeah. Why would you become a baseball player when you can just play basketball or football or something more exciting, more fun?
Exactly, folks. We bring up great topics here.
Yes, only hard-hitting topics here on the Factory Report. All right, that's all we've got for today. If you like today's episode, please subscribe and leave us a review. You can follow me at L Gremban on Instagram and Twitter. That's LGREMBAN.
And you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Caleb Burlingame, CalebBurlingame.
From my humble home, I'm Luke Gremban.
And I'm Caleb Burlingame.
Saying thank you for washing your hands and staying 6 feet apart. This has been
The Factory Report.